ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27 as we're continuing our study through the Word of God. And if you remember, back in Genesis chapter 25, before Esau and Jacob were born, the Lord told Rebekah, two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body, one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. In other words, Jacob, even though he wasn't the firstborn, Esau was, God was going to give him the blessings of the firstborn. Rebekah knew this, I'm sure Isaac knew this, and I'm sure they probably mentioned it to their children. They were aware of this. But in Genesis chapter 25, we see that Jacob, the schemer, the supplanter, that's what his name basically means, gets the birthright from Esau. And he did this because Esau came back from a hunting trip, didn't have any luck, didn't catch anything, and he was hungry, he was starving. And Jacob was cooking some lentil stew. And you know, when you're really hungry, even lentil stew smells really good. And he goes, he wants some stew. He tells Jacob, can I have some? And, you know, Jacob, again, the schemer, says, you know what? You can have it, but you have to promise to give me your birthright. And he was so hungry, he complied. Now, here's the thing that a lot of people don't really look at here. God already told this family that Jacob would receive the blessing of the firstborn, right? The birthright. They didn't believe it, and we're going to see that played out here tonight in our study. And the birthright spoke not only of physical, but also spiritual blessing. The person would receive a double portion of the inheritance, would be the spiritual leader in the family when the father passed on, and he would also receive the covenant that God made with Abraham, and thus Jacob is wheeling and dealing to get what God promised him in the first place. You read these stories, and a lot of these in the Old Testament, they're not pretty pictures of humanity, of God's people, are they? No, it's just the way it is. I guess all warts and all, right? This is the reality of humanity. And these were people who loved the Lord, but didn't always obey what the Lord was saying. And the reality is their salvation wasn't based on their good works. If it was, they would fail. But it was upon faith, just like ours. Now, some people say, oh, you know, you just believe that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. You're just giving yourself an excuse to sin. Well, that's ridiculous. Paul talked about that in Romans. You know, it's ridiculous. If we really love the Lord, are we going to use this to just continue on sinning? No. In fact, John, and I believe it's in 1 John, talks about if you continually sin, are in an act of sin, are you really saved? There's the reality. That doesn't save us. It's the evidence for our faith. Now, here in Genesis chapter 27, Esau and Jacob are 77 years old. Isaac is 137 years old. That means 37 years have passed from between Genesis chapter 26 and 27. Isaac was 60 years old when Esau and Jacob were born. We see that in Genesis 25, 26. And in Genesis 26, 34, Esau, at 40 years of age, Jacob and Esau are twins, so they got to be the same age, right? So that would make Isaac 100 years old at the close of Genesis 26. So just kind of keep that in mind. We think this stuff happened boom, 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 and no, this is over a period of time, okay? So let's pick up Genesis chapter 27, beginning in verse 1, and let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. We're told, now it came to pass when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son? And he answered him, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. What is Isaac doing here? He's trying to negate the will of God. He's 137 years old. He's in kind of poor health. His eyes are bad. And what does he do? He thinks he's going to die. Why? Well, his brother Ishmael died at 137. So I think he's kind of figuring, hey, you know what? He died at 137. Maybe my time is coming to an end. I'm losing my eyesight. I'm not feeling too good. The reality is he lived to be 180 years old, or another 43 years after the events spoken here in Genesis 27. And here we see him call his oldest son, Esau. He says, you know what? Can you cook me up some of that? Go hunt some food, cook it up for me, bring it to me, and then I'm going to give you a blessing. Wow. Again, that just amazes me. Why was he doing that? Because I think he loved Esau. Well, he did love Esau more than he loved Jacob. And how do you ignore God's will? Well, that's what he's trying to do. It's not going to work out. You would think at this age, at the end of his life, his faith would be stronger, right? But it wasn't. And think about this. He's doing it secretly. He just calls Esau in, not Rebekah, not Jacob. Esau, you go get me some, hunt some food, cook it up for me, bring it in so I can give you the blessing. Why did he do that? Because he knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew this wasn't right, and yet he's still doing it. And it's going to get worse. Look at verse 5 here. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. We may call this scene one of this soap opera, and it's kind of is a soap opera here, verses 1 through 4. And here in verses 5 actually through 17 is scene 2. And Rebekah and Jacob are the focus. And again, what did the Lord tell Rebekah? The older will serve the younger. Well, now she's worried. Why? That Esau is going to get the blessing and not Jacob. So she plans to use deception to fool her husband into blessing Jacob. Let me ask you a question. Did God need help here? No, he didn't. Was Esau going to get the blessing? No, he was not going to get the blessing. But Rebekah is acting in the flesh, and the end doesn't justify the mean. Now, Spurgeon picked up on this, and then he wrote, good men have gone very wrong when they have thought of aiding in the fulfillment of promises and prophecies. See how Rebekah erred in trying to get the promised blessing for Jacob? We had better leave the Lord's decrees in the Lord's hands. Absolutely. Think about it. If the Lord can't handle the situation or any situation, how powerful is he really? Not too powerful, but what God has promised, he's more than able to bring to pass. And you think, man, what a dysfunctional family here, right? No one trusted each other. Isaac sends Esau out secretly so he could bless him. Rebekah doesn't trust her husband or God, so she comes up with a plan to deceive. And this is a family of faith, but we don't see that really here. Why are they so dysfunctional? Because they're not walking with the Lord. They're living in disobedience to him, and that is the result of this family. Now, again, you know, as we're walking with the Lord, it doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. But I think if we're truly walking with the Lord, the family is not going to be dysfunctional. I think that's the big issue. And Rebekah knew her husband couldn't see very well, and she's going to use that to deceive him. Wow. Jacob, go get me some kids of goats. Give me two of them. I'll cook them up, and you bring them to your dad so you can get the blessing. And the deception just continues to get worse. Look at verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread and which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. What does Jacob get concerned about? Getting caught, right? Not that he's disobeying the Lord. Not that what he's doing is deceiving his father. He's just concerned, I'm going to get caught. And then what does mom do? What does Rebecca do? "Hey, don't worry, son. Let the curse be on me. It won't be on you. It'll be on me instead." Wow. And we're going to see that Rebecca is cursed, really, because what's going to happen in her life, she's never going to be able to get it back. And that's her son, Jacob. Esau must have been a hairy guy. They put goat skins on his hands. How much hair did this guy have? I mean, come on. I don't know. I read that and go, oh my gosh, you know, do you have to perm it or whatever? I don't know. That's a lot of hair on your hands. But that was him. I guess that's why he was called hairy. And she puts Esau's clothes on Jacob. Why? So he smells like him. He was an outdoors guy. You know, he had that outdoor aroma. And Rebecca cooks this meal up, and Jacob is all set to deceive his father. Why? So God could bless him. Doesn't that sound strange? I'm going to deceive my father so I can get the blessing from God. Think about that, Jacob. But he's not thinking about that. He's only thinking about getting this blessing. It's interesting. When you're in sin, it doesn't seem wrong, does it? And it seems so obvious to us as we read this, but it wasn't to him. One of the other things is that we don't see Rebecca, Isaac, or Jacob pray about this. They didn't seek direction from God. "God, what do you want us to do?" Because I guarantee you, God would not say, "I want you to deceive your father." There is no way he would say that. And Esau was more interested in the blessing than being obedient to God, just like Jacob was. But look at what happens. Look at verse 18. "So he went to his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?' And Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me.' But Isaac said to his son, 'How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because Yahweh, your God, brought it to me.' Then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not.' So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice and the hands are the hands of Esau.' And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And then he said, 'Are you really my son Esau?' And he said, 'I am.' And he said, 'Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you.' So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, 'Come near now and kiss me, my son.' And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, 'Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you.'" So this is kind of like scene three opening up. The focus is Jacob and Isaac. And again, Jacob's name is scoundrel or conniver, deceiver. That's what he's acting like here. And Isaac says, you know, "Who are you? Who came into the room?" And what does he do? He lies. "It's Esau, your son. Can't you tell?" Wow. "How'd you get that deer so fast, Esau? I mean, you really got it quickly." And then what does he do? Jacob says, "God got me this deer quickly." He brought God into the picture. He's blaming, or not blaming God, he's using God to justify his sin. God had blessed him. You know, deception. How many God's people use deception to get what they want and claim because the outcome was good, God actually blessed them? That's sad. That's horrible when we have to bring God into our wickedness and use him to justify our sin. But Isaac is kind of wise. He's not buying this yet. He's not sure that this is really Esau. So he asks him again, and Jacob reaffirms that he's Esau. And then this fourth lie of his appearance, he's dressed like Esau, smelled like Esau, and he fooled his dad. And I don't know if they have cologne out there, smell like the field, but this worked really well. So Jacob deceived his brother to get the birthright, the double portion of the blessing, and he's also tricking his father to get this blessing as the spiritual head of the family and really the covenant that God had promised to Abraham and Isaac and now Jacob. We see Isaac blesses Jacob as he prays for prosperity and crops, prosperity over the nations, and for those that blessed him, they're going to be blessed. For those that cursed him, they would be cursed. This is a reaffirmation of the promise God gave to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, which was then passed on to Isaac, and now Isaac thinks he's passing it on to Esau, but he's actually passing it on to Jacob. Now let me ask you this question. Was Jacob blessed because of these prayers of Isaac, because of what Isaac said? No. You know why? Because God already promised this to him. Isaac thinks it's Esau. So it's not the words that he said, it's what God had promised. He would bless the younger over the older brother. You know, Boyce put it like this. He said, "The point is that the sovereign will of God is done in spite of our or any other person's opposition to it." Absolutely. You know, remember the children of Israel when they were the southern kingdom of Judah, when they were in rebellion against God, and God was going to bring judgment upon them, and he warned them prophet after prophet, and there's Jeremiah warning them. And finally, God says to Jeremiah, "Don't pray for them anymore. They're going into captivity. It's over." And what did the southern kingdom of Israel try to do? Circumvent the will of God. Did it work? No, they went into captivity. When they were, Nebuchadnezzar left some of the weak, the poor, the elderly in the southern kingdom of Judah. Didn't take them all. But now they're fearful. And they want to go to Egypt, to the world, to be saved. And Jeremiah says, "Don't go down there. If you go down there, you're going to die down there. Stay here." What do? They go down there. Again, trying to change what God has said. And in the end, they die down there. God already gave Jacob this blessing. He promised it to him. And he was going to get it. You know, he didn't have to fight and scheme and deceive to get what God already promised him. He just needed to wait upon God, right? Did it look hopeless from a human perspective? Absolutely it did. I mean, everything that was going on in this family looked like Esau was going to get the blessing. But are they going to really outsmart God? No, they're not. So Jacob, Rebekah, Isaac, and Esau, they're all doing things that are wrong. And it's all, you know, God's timing is amazing. And look at what's going on here in verse 30. "Then it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me.' And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' And he said, 'I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau.' Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed.' When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing.' And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?' Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?' And Esau said to his father, 'Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. So we might call this scene 4, Genesis 27, verses 30 through 40, deal with Esau and Isaac. And we'll get to those last two verses in a minute. But think about what's going on here. You know, Jacob gets the blessing from Isaac, right? He leaves the tent, and as he gets out of sight, here comes his brother Esau with the food all cooked and ready for his dad. Wow, talk about timing. And again, Isaac couldn't see too well. He wanted to know who entered the tent. And Esau responds, "Hey, it's me, Dad. Don't you remember? You sent me out to get the venison, and now you're going to bless me." Wow. And then what happened? Isaac trembled exceedingly. The Amplified Bible says that Isaac trembled and shook violently. You think he was mad? Oh, yeah, he was mad. He found out Jacob tricked him. And I don't think that was the only reason he was so upset. I believe also he realized that he couldn't circumvent the will of God. He tried as hard as he could, and he thought he had it all worked out, right? All the details, only Esau knows of this. So he'll come in, give me the food, I'll bless him. It's a done deal. But he was deceived, and Jacob got the blessing. The reason I say that Isaac is so upset because he couldn't circumvent the will of God is because of what it says in 33, verse 33. Indeed, he shall be blessed. In other words, there's nothing I can do about it. God has already ordained this. Jacob is blessed. And I think Isaac is broken. He's going to surrender to the will of God. And we wouldn't get that here in Genesis necessarily. We'll see that he is going to bless Jacob in the next chapter. But in Hebrews chapter 11, in the Hall of Faith section, we're told, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And that's what we'll see as we get to chapter 28. Now, here's the thing. Isn't it easy to come down on these guys? Oh, how could they do that? Where is their faith? Come on. And there's God always there going, did you look in the mirror? Because this is for you. These things were written beforehand that we, through the patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope, Paul said. And waiting upon God is the best thing. Trying to help him out gets us in trouble. For Esau, you know, you read this, you think, man, he must be really broken. He's crying, he's weeping. There's a lot of emotion going on. What was the emotion for? All the material things. I don't think he cared for the spiritual stuff, but the material things, the blessings. In fact, Paul in Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17 said this regarding Esau. He said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He sold his birthright for a morsel of food to satisfy his bodily appetites. Christians do that all the time for temporary things, things that are going to fade away, sin that is not, that God doesn't want us to be involved in. Obviously, he doesn't want us to be involved in any sin. And he's not getting his birthright back, and he didn't get the blessing. And he cried out to God because his cry was based on what he lost, not his willingness to repent. He wanted the blessing of God, but he didn't want the God of the blessing. And how many people are like that? They cry out to God when they're in the middle of turmoil and everything gets better, and they don't even care about God anymore. A great example of that was 9/11. After 9/11, churches were packed out for a few weeks, a month, maybe 2 months, because everyone was afraid. God, help us! And then they went back to their old ways because they wanted the blessing of God without the God of the blessing. And again, for Jacob, that blessing was already promised to him. Does this picture here apply to our lives? I think so. The older is going to serve the younger. Let's think of it like this. Put it in this perspective. As Christians, that old nature, the one we inherited from Adam, that will serve the younger or the new nature, which we have received from God. You know, the old man was crucified with Christ, but that old nature is still there. Now, we could let it rule our lives by feeding it over and over and over again, or we can starve the flesh and feed the spirit. You know, once Isaac gave the blessing to Jacob. He couldn't take it back. Why? It was a done deal. And isn't that great news for us? Once we've come to Christ, once that blessing is pronounced in a sense upon our lives, can it ever be revoked? No. Our salvation, that awesome blessing of eternal life, can never be taken away once God has given it to us. Romans 11:29. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Yeah, praise God for that. And for Esau, he rightly recognizes that Jacob was a dirty, rotten scoundrel.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.